If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Stuff.biz.
Hello, thank you for tuning in to the free edition of the Daily Shoa on the rightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed, and we need you to change that. See, the rightstuff.biz is 100% listener funded. We have no sponsors, we have no mega donors, we have no shadowy helicopter donors coming in and saving our ass. We need you to support us in our efforts to do these shows. So please navigate to the rightstuff.biz/paywall. And follow the instructions, create an account, create an order. We sell subscriptions monthly, quarterly, twice yearly, and yearly. It's a little bit complicated because of the rampant censorship we've had to endure, so you'll have to pay with cryptocurrency, money orders by mail, e-checks, or you can navigate to my Odyssey channel, create an account on Odyssey, and you can pay me with your credit card. Thank you, and enjoy the first half of the show. Thank you. The Daily Show, 1093.
This is the good stuff. The right stuff. The
Jewish apocalypse.
And just like seven more episodes, this one goes to 11. So you don't have to worry about it, Mike. I've got the art figured
that
out.
That was...
That's what I'm doing. This one goes to 1100.
That was exactly what I was going to suggest that
it's gonna
you
be,
do.
It's going to be a Marshall amp with 1100.
I swear to God.
I know. Everybody knows.
I was about to get to that.
Yep.
Like... In the pre-show conversation, yes. I was literally about to suggest exactly
that's
that.
That's what we're going to do. It's going to be fun.
As the artwork. And so, yes, and I'm kind of annoyed that you don't believe me.
I believe you.
That I had the same exact idea.
I don't think it's like the most original joke in the world. It's just good. It's just, but it's like.
No, it's not. There's nothing original about
what
it.
What reminded me is we were laughing at the comments, the comment accounts on the press. Where we have a commenter named Southern Poverty Guitar Center.
Yeah, that was...
just fucking dying. I'm sorry, I'm stealing your name. It's great. Like, the merch store is no longer going to be swirlybitstore.com. I'm changing it to Southern Poverty Guitar Center. Because it's so fucking good. It's so fucking funny.
It's really good, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Anyway, yeah, so...
This is going to be a combination prep and Daily Show. We could just bullshit for half an hour before we do anything in... important because
well, I don't bullshit up. Oh, I have nothing but important things to say though.
Bullshit.
We don't have anything important to say. We don't see anything important in this birthday.
I have a somewhat sort of interesting thing. I don't know if it's interesting, but it's the slice of my life. I'm feeling a lot better today. And
oh, good.
I think that like all advancement in like colds, antihistamine, all treatment, it's all bunk. And the reason is all you need is NyQuil. Because I think the most important thing is that it's just that you sleep at night and you have this shit knock you the fuck out so that even... Because what happens to me, like, if I don't take something like that, it just fucking knocks me the fuck out. I'll wake up, like, sneezing or with, like, oh, my throat hurts, and then you can't fall asleep. And that's the worst thing for it. The treatment you need is rest. So the worst thing you can do is take, like, the Sudafed, like, the crystal meth stuff they sell or DayQuil, stuff that during the day keeps you up so you can get shit done. It's like, no, just don't get anything done. Lay the fuck down. And at night, take night, get drunk, and pass the fuck out for 8 hours.
I also hate how that shit makes you feel like that. It makes you feel like so disconnected from everything. Like you're awake, but you're like you're everything is like you know you're just like
Mucinex gives me this
like everything
weird,
is like you're like detached.
Everything
from the
is
world
like
when
everything
you...
is like back a foot further than it should be.
Yes,
and like this.
Yes, exactly.
My eyes are like that's with the Mucinex.
Yeah, I can't stand that shit. Now I don't know that there actually have been any advancements in cold remedies.
Well, like, I mean,
they just don't have any cures.
Are you trying to like subtweet the recent research that found that phenylephrine doesn't work? It's one of the major ingredients. It's
what's
in Sudafed,
phenylephrine?
Benadryl, NyQuil, all that shit.
Isn't is that the shit that they use?
Is that the shit that makes me
down into meth?
Is that the stuff that makes me fall asleep forever? Or is that the pseudo?
No.
I don't know what phenylephrine is. I'd have to get some.
It's a decongestant.
Okay. I just watched.
Well, that shit does those stimulants. Those mild stimulants do dry you up. But that doesn't help. That actually makes you feel like even
that's what almost killed
sometimes.
Me. That's what almost killed me the first time I got COVID. I was taking the decongestant and I was fucking dehydrated. Like I could and I couldn't
get. Then you'll get like these chunky.
Dump that Procter and Gamble and Johnson & Johnson stock. Dump that.
Don't worry, I've got Pfizer and Bristol Myers
Squibb.
Right,
I think
I'm
you're
good.
Okay if you got Pfizer. All right.
Oh, I know I'm better than okay. What, are you kidding me? Ride not.
What is it? Phenol.
Phenol red.
The active ingredient.
Epinephrine or whatever the hell
it is.
Yeah,
it's
sued epinephrine, right?
Sued.
It's probably some sort of
fucking sudes.
Well, Sudafed used to just
be called
that. It is a sued because pseudoephedrine was the active ingredient in Sudafed for a long time. That's where the name even
came. You want to take that and you want to stack it with your caffeine and then your L-theanine, and then you'll be bouncing off the walls for 2 days.
I thought you want to take your Sudafed in a camper out into the desert, and then you like heat it up and you do some weird shit, and then...
The thing about that stack, though, is it won't even feel good, though.
No. That's horrible.
Like,
oh no,
It's like that's the thing I hated about it. It's like it's one thing. Look, I don't recommend anybody abuse prescription drugs or take prescription drugs.
No, just abuse NyQuil.
Taking Adderall.
Just use NyQuil.
Is taking Adderall, you feel pretty good. You do not feel good when you take pseudoephedrine or even just normal ephedrine. That shit sucks.
Yeah,
I can't take it.
Yeah, I thought I was better. This is what happened. I thought I was better on Monday. And then Monday night, I didn't take anything, and I couldn't fall asleep. It was like, I didn't fall asleep till at least 1. I got up at 12:30 and took melatonin, and that knocked me out for maybe 5 hours tops, and I woke up and I'm still miserable. But ever since then, every night since, I've been riding the NyQuil train, sleeping at least 8 hours every night, and I'm going to be better. Yeah. The only thing I feel weird about is like, am I having a NyQuil hangover? Because I'm a little drowsy, but I'm not coughing, I'm not sneezing, my throat doesn't hurt, so... There you go.
Yeah, what you should take is clenbuterol. That's a beta-2 agonist that's used to treat asthma in European countries. It has a half-life of eternity, and you will feel...
Glenbuterol?
Who's
Glenbuterol.
Glenbuterol?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, something like that.
It's a popular drug among weightlifters because it helps them make a cut. Like,
oh, it helps them die at age 40?
Glenbuterol.
Yeah, basically, glenbuterol is like... When it comes to allergy and cold medications, it's like the bath salts.
Broke.
It's fucking awful.
The glow. Come on, I'm trying to do a joke here. Broke, Glen Allen, Baltimore. Woke, Glen Allen, Buterol.
All right. I mean, to give you an idea about clenbuterol, it's measured in micrograms instead of milligrams. That should tell you all you need to know.
Oh, like Fent. Oof. It's basically the Fent of the...
Exactly. It's the fentanyl version of an asthma medication.
There you go. That's good. So I hope we've all enjoyed
around with that shit.
I hope you've all enjoyed prepping the medicine cabinet. We should probably move on.
But it's like prepping like the bootleg medicine cabinet. It's not even like this good. You don't even have like meth and fentanyl. It's like you got like pseudoephedrine and glenbuterol in there and like NyQuil. It's like let's go, let's roll. It's like you should try stacking.
I don't even know what happened.
Glenbuterol, pseudoephedrine, and NyQuil, and just see what happens. Probably just immediately.
No, I'm not gonna.
So like it's like at least George Floyd was feeling good when he went out. Like, you know, you're gonna just feel like a weird mess.
This problem with stimulants like that and things like modafinil and all that kind of crap, like it does not give you a pleasant buzz. You're just really awake.
What if like the new version of Four Loko is like coffee and NyQuil? Just do that. Like, make like a NyQuil latte. Remember Four Loko used to be alcohol
I've done
and
that.
Caffeine? NyQuil? Like,
coffee
why would,
and NyQuil,
why
I've
would
done
you coffee
that,
and NyQuil? Yeah. That what? Don't you
well,
want to sleep?
You can take can't... NyQuil, and if you just like the taste of coffee, you can just drink it, and nothing happens. You could go to sleep anyway.
You just have a large heart. You have an enlarged heart because it's strong.
I remember being in the ER taking DayQuil and caffeine and just flying on that stuff.
Well, there you
day.
Go. Like, DayQuil and caffeine, that's what you want.
So like, I should probably be reclining on in like bed 6 or something. And
dude, bro, I used to just, whenever I get sick, I'll just like slam Theraflu. I'll like double up the dose. I'm doing 2 packets. How you like that?
I was drinking Theraflu the other day.
Take that, FDA.
I would make the Theraflu.
I took 2 packets.
I would make the Theraflu, and then I was pouring Baron Jaeger into it. That was pretty good.
Oh,
it was good stuff.
Theraflu actually does work.
I always thought
it works. It doesn't work to take the flu away. It works to make you not feel yeah, sick for like two hours.
All your nasal passages and your throat gets all warmed up and cozy. It's a good feeling.
Yeah, it's also, I think it's also because it's a very good delivery mechanism for the acetaminophen.
We should just go back to laudanum.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Why the hell not?
Liquor and pure morphine.
Oh. I don't know about that. Talk about a large heart.
Just go back to like the Victorian era, right? The supposed puritanical Victorian era where you're just slamming laudanum and cocaine all day. Like,
man. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
That
kind of creeping Puritanism right there. Going back to the laudanum.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Sherlock Holmes.
I got to work on my creeping Puritanism song. The creeping death.
I might do it for Halloween. I might do the undead creeping Puritan.
That would be good. Like a zombie Puritan? Yeah. That would be pretty good. Pretty good zombie Puritans.
All of these would be terrific album covers.
What was the... Oh, man. There was like actually... the guy that wrote Conan wrote another character who was like a Puritan vampire hunter.
Oh, fuck.
You know what I'm talking about?
They made a movie about it. It's actually not bad.
Yeah, I figured that was right. That was in your alley.
Yeah, me and a buddy had just watched that film like 2 years ago. It kind of flew under the radar. What the hell was that?
It's not Van Helsing, is it? No, because that's from Bram Stoker.
I've got to find it now. No, that's actually kind of a neat little comic line he was doing there. God, I'm never going to be able to remember the name of it. Fuck. I would actually like to watch that again. Oh, well. You know, I think I am going to have to go see this new movie, The Creator. I think I want to watch it.
You want to watch the Negroes?
I saw some reviews, and I was like, yeah, you know, I think I would like to see this. I do want to see these visuals.
Everyone told me.
It's original content. It's original.
I don't want to see the visuals because it has... that's why I won't watch Dune. Like, I don't want to watch niggers. I don't care. There's no reason for there to be a single nigger in Dune. Niggers don't go to space. They're not capable. I mean, why would anyone bring them?
They should, though, yeah.
Like the Deutsch. But like, if anybody who made space travel, like, why would you bring a nigger to your colonies? Like, well, we need to bring some violent crime and some petty theft and property damage. And like, who's going to tag all the moons of Saturn if we don't bring niggers with us? You know, I can imagine like bring a bunch of spray paint, some blacks, and go out there and tag the solar system. What is, you know?
Oh man.
It's like, why would you do that? So,
I have toddlers doing laps down here.
And also, people in the comments let me know. I didn't know what ML meant. There's AI. It's artificial intelligence and machine learning. That's what ML is.
Oh, I thought it meant medium laser.
Medium laser.
You never really know what any learning. Particular thing means in, you know.
In like bullshit that's destroying the Earth? Yeah, I know.
Well, just like any, just
you know what I was.
There's so many acronyms. Sorry, I got distracted. Anyway,
I have one more.
Speaking of science fiction, you know what I thought? Always thought was kind of funny.
What's that?
In the BattleTech universe, they have every country is represented, except one.
Except Israel.
In fact, except one entire continent. It's Africa because like.
Oh, see, whenever you say every single country except one, I immediately go to Israel. Like, that's sort of like a default.
Well, I don't recall them showing up either.
Yeah. Future looks pretty good.
Well, I mean, there's still niggers, but obviously no serious science fiction author thought that Africa would be represented as some sort of serious power.
They're not going to be able to engage in near-peer mech warrior combat.
Yeah, like, right. There's no way. They're not going to get into space. They're not going to leave planet Earth unless it's just like random, occasional, exceptional future, Negro. Like
that future is definitely a galaxy-wide battle between like, whites and Asians.
In fact, now I'm thinking about it. Like, what factions do I know of in science fiction that are all black outside the Marvel universe? That's stupid Wakanda bullshit. Like, I don't know of any. Yeah, I don't know if any.
Well, I think that there'll probably be more because they're just going to make more. Remember, what about Sun Man and like the Sun Men? Like that Sun Super Man. Sun Man team? Like he had like a super team, but even that had a white guy on it.
I never even heard of that until like we started saying Sun Man from Ock Nation. Like that was news to me that was ever a thing. I mean, they tried to shoehorn some tokenism in there, but yeah, just trying to like imagine and build like worlds created by niggers. Like you just can't, it's just not possible. No. I was talking about that yesterday.
We don't need
to
imagine. We can see. We see what worlds they create.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, trying to imagine them having like an advanced world in a future century. It's like, no, they're not going to have that. They're going to have advanced. They're going to be able to find, like, you're going to have like advanced white people with technology, and they're going to find advanced ways to use that for like violent crime and petty theft and property damage and stuff like that. That's basically what they do. Because remember, because the thing about like Africans, like, you know how like Africans are somewhat famous now for like necklacing? How do they necklace people before we gave them like used tires? Like, that's a petroleum product. Like, what did they necklace? Did they just create wreaths?
Well, they also
like,
need the gasoline too. And don't forget about that. They
that's
have
true.
That
well, I mean,
I'm assuming that they just had did dried other barbaric out, things. They just that had, they were
like,
able to do.
Like, do they have like dried out reeds and just like?
Yeah, I think they stabbed each other with sharp sticks.
They just
whatnot,
they would just make a wreath out of it, put it around your neck, and then where did they get the fire from? Did they ever figure out fire on their own? Like, these are, we're talking about niggers.
Good
like
question.
And it seems like, it seems like niggers and fire go hand in hand because of the mostly peaceful protests they engage in. But it's like, no, at some point, someone from another race had to gift them with fire so
yeah,
that they could set,
sure
them, set
that,
each other
that they
on
didn't
fire.
Have it. I don't know.
Right. So it's just like, how are they going to get into space? Like, if they stole this, I mean, what happens when they steal cars? They like crash into things and they wreck them. Like, what are they going to do?
Hey, you're still listening to only half the show? Get behind the paywall and get the rest of the story. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and choose the subscription model that works best for you. And don't forget, every Tuesday evening, there is an Odyssey stream where Southern Sun will take your donations through a credit card or a debit card in exchange for a subscription. You have no idea how much content you're missing. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and let's fix that.
But even in Wakanda...
Oh, hey!
Even in the Marvel Universe, we've made this joke before, but it's true. Even in like the Marvel Universe of Wakanda, the advanced African nation only comes about because this alien ore, like this mound of alien ore, is there.
Yeah,
and without
sense.
That, you know, they would that. So they needed a magic non-existent metal meteorite to strike in that place for that to be created. They didn't need to give an explanation of how like Europe and America became advanced.
No,
like Stanley never felt like he needed to give a backstory.
People are just smart.
But when he created Wakanda, he's like, I've got to make this plausible. Because if I just say there's an advanced nation in Africa, no one's going to believe it. Oh, so there's like an alien ore that has magic properties. Yeah, that works.
What was it? Vibranium?
Oh, vibranium. God, I just read about the history of necklacing.
Let's call it twerkanium.
Jesus Christ.
What's the, give me the history of necklacing. My body
it
is...
It started in South Africa, right?
Sure.
Supposedly it was used by black community punished members who perceived as collaborators to apartheid government. But anyway, here's the first victim of necklacing, according to the South African Truth and Reconciliation Commission, was a young black woman, Maki Skosana of Duduza, on the 20th of July, 1985. Malako said her sister was burned to death with a tire around her neck while attending the funeral of one of the youths. Her body had been scorched by fire, and some broken pieces of glass had been inserted into her vagina.
Ah!
Malako told the committee, Malako added that a big rock had
it's
been
like
thrown in
her
face
film.
After she'd been killed. Jesus.
Well, let's just stop right there. Like in the not so ancient past, like they wouldn't have had glass. They would have just had to use sticks.
God.
Again,
well,
like,
remember the gods must be crazy.
Yeah, with the bottle.
They didn't have glass. But hold on a second. Here's my question.
The Zog must be crazy. That might be our show title already. It's a little early for a show title.
I don't know. I don't know if you're going to be able to top
that. Oh, shit. Yeah, so that's why you remember Winnie Mandela, the wife of
Sure.
Yeah,
Nelson
used
Mandela,
to whip
right?
people with, like, she literally was whipping slaves.
Said in 1986, throw boxes and matches and our necklaces, we shall liberate this country. And they had to distance themselves from her. So it was like, that's
bad optics. Was also known for, like, you know, like, literally, like, after they became the rulers of South Africa, like, you know, whipping the house servants who were basically slaves with, you know, wire hangers and shit like that. Like, that kind of crap was going on.
It's kind of rough coming from, like, the girlfriend on the Wonder Years, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't expect that from her. Such a cutie, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. They use it in Haiti as well. Imagine that.
Well, look, I mean.
What a surprise.
What's sort of funny is
we
that
can't
it's
do
like, fire. Okay, so.
We all. Oh, it's all across the world, wherever there are Africans, the African diaspora is like, we will put fire around your neck and burn you.
Wherever I am, I must also burn tires.
I rape, I burn, I insert glass into vagina.
Well, they do that kind of shit, but they do that kind of shit. I think there's a little bit of wanting to project some kind of strategy on this, or like some, you know, so, like there's a lot of whites that want to project more agency or more of a some kind of laudable motive, at least, onto this, as if, okay, you're punishing collaborators with the apartheid regime. No, but a lot of people, they're not doing that. Like they just
do
that
to fuck with people. They just do that.
They
because
think their
mad.
Wife has a demon or something like that. Like they, you know, they
there is
do
no
because,
way
like,
that the first Nichols thing happened in 1985 and had anything to do with apartheid. That is just Jewish lies. Like everything bad with Africans has to be because of apartheid collaborators. Like, no, Africans notice that you can put gas inside of a tire and set it on fire, and they use it for people that they think have demons in them. Or
yeah, it's sort of like they noticed it. Well, it's also interesting. It's like the only kind of ingenuity they demonstrate is in this sort of thing, right? Like,
right.
It's like, okay, you know,
how can I take these white people inventions and be really cruel and nasty?
Yeah,
with
and
it?
Figure out like a barbaric.
And then how can a Jew? And then how can a Jew?
Like,
how can a Jew come along and make this like a revolutionary act that's noble somehow?
Right. That's put some kind of positive spin on it somehow. Oh, punishing collaborators with the evil racist regime. Oh, yeah, the racist regime that even gave you the access to gasoline and tires, not to mention electricity and potable water, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, all of which are going away, which is fine. Like, if Africans aren't meant to have that, they're not. Yes. It's not my problem.
The apartheid regime, because they're such ignorant savages.
I mean, well, I my view is, though, maybe they need it, but it's not my job to give it to them. No. Like,
right.
You know,
I mean, I don't want to volunteer for that.
Like, yeah, it's not our job. Like, I am also, frankly, tired of the... we're just tired of being around blacks. Like,
yeah, real tired.
Africans. Yeah, like, let me tell you. Like, this is here's a hard truth. This is what Africans need. They need as little access to as little technology as possible. They need as few resources as possible, so that they don't have a large population and that they can't get access to other people to bother.
I mean, yeah,
that's basically how Africa was. They're not supposed to survive. They're almost like xenomorphs. They just basically, they have no self-awareness. They just kill. They don't kill for any reason. They just like, wherever I must go, I must bleed acid on the spaceship and everyone dies. It's just, but that's what the xenomorphs do. That's what Africans do.
I'm willing to give.
I disagree with that, because the xenomorphs are trying to reproduce themselves part of their life cycle, whereas the African is just, it's more like
nihilistic. Yeah, but like the only thing about the xenomorph, it has such a complicated reproduction cycle that it makes it more difficult for them to do. Like, Africans can just breed, you know, but the impulse is the same. Like, there's no future planning. There's no self-awareness of myself as a soul. There's no philosophy. There's no communication. They're barely even aware that each other exists, except for like. I guess a xenomorph, like one xenomorph has never necklaced another xenomorph. So I guess in that sense.
Well, here's my thing, though. I was watching this. This is actually kind of interesting.
What, Alien?
I was watching this video.
Were you watching Alien? Oh,
more cool
I was watching
there,
Alien.
There's a YouTube channel I follow called African Stream. And
African Covenant.
Yes.
That'd be a good movie.
It is.
Michael Fassbender wipes out an entire planet just by putting niggers on it.
That's the black goo.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He unscrews the container and you hear rap music.
Fuck, like, African Covenant is another good show title.
Also, I distinctly remember in Alien Resurrection, they did not necklace another xenomorph, but two xenomorphs ganged up on a third xenomorph, tore him apart so the acid would eat through the floor and they could escape. I do remember
that. See, I haven't seen that one in
but
a while. I've only watched
like intelligence and planning.
I've only seen that one once, even though it has my
so much more intelligent than blacks. Like, let's this is silly.
They're far more calculating than blacks.
Yeah. No, they obviously no. It's actually kind of ridiculous.
I gotta watch Alien Resurrection. That's my Jewish girlfriend in it, doesn't it? Doesn't have what's her face in it? My shoplifting Jewish girlfriend.
Shoplifting Jew is in it.
Winona Ryder.
It's got the ugly troll Jew. He's in it.
Who?
Paul Reiser?
No.
He was in the first one.
He's in the second one.
No, I can't remember. I don't know.
God damn it. What is that? Why am I drawing a blank on this guy? He's the one who was always doing like the how do you like that, Trump? Those memes.
The guy with the huge Jew face.
Actor. Ron Perlman.
Oh, God.
Isn't Ron the guy Perlman. With the long hair like my cousin from the Kevin Costner... Robin Hood in that too. The creepy guy from The Crow. Isn't he in that too? Huh?
Yeah. That guy is in there.
Yeah,
yes.
That guy's awesome. Yes, I'll watch it just for that.
There's a shitload of character actors.
We'll have to watch that soon. 90s bros.
Yeah, actually, Ron Perlman's kind of fun to watch this. He does this whole, like, monkey routine. And it's kind of hilarious because he does look like
Ron Perlman actually has a prognathism.
Yeah.
It's kind of remarkable. He actually has, like, a protruding prognathism.
Oh,
he looks like an ape.
He looks like a goddamn ape.
He looks just fucked up.
He does the whole ape routine in the movie, and I was like, wow, that's
he's all that Jew, like, birth defect, like, manifest in one man.
A number of different inbreeding coming to the fore here. So,
can I do one more slice of life that may transition into politics a little bit?
Well, I wanted to talk about the African country.
Oh, okay, go ahead. You do that.
Well, my only thing is, like, okay, so it's a Pan-Africanist, like, black nationalist channel. And the blacks that comment on it, what's so funny is they're all educated lay niggers, and they all are ultimately from, or at least the top guy who talks, he has a British accent. And this one, he mentioned how he is born in the UK. So it's like, as I say, I would be happy to give these black nationalists, like, what they want. And, like, leave Africa alone and leave it uncolonized. You know, I would be at least decolonize Africa, leave it alone, right? The problem is, though,
they got stuff, though.
He then also went into a thing about complaining about in the UK, because this whole thing was actually a kind of a funny video where they're reacting to Somalians who are claiming they're not black. Apparently, this is a tendency. Somalians are claiming they're not black. And
this suit is not black.
I did not know that this was an internal conflict, and these guys are actually making the argument that, like, you are black, and they're like, and the reason you're black, and it's actually, you know, they were correct. They were like, the reason you're black is because people look at you and they see that you're black. And one of these niggers even said the absolute truth was, like, you could see if someone's black or white from a mile away.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, no, he's right. But,
usually because they're putting a tire over somebody's neck. It's a black person.
It's like, are they or are they not? That person is a mile away. Is he affixing a tire to someone's neck and leg on fire? Yes, he's black.
But
no, he's not doing that. Okay, he's white.
That I was like, so where's this black nationalism when now you want to be in the UK and you're complaining about police? And he even says, like, and I know Somalians are black because if I'm in the UK and they're in the UK, they're going to get housing discrimination the way I do. They're going to get stopped by the police the way I do, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like,
because they're waving machetes.
Well, first of all, what UK are you talking about? I'm sure that used to be true like 50 years ago. But today, you don't get stopped by the police. You don't get housing discrimination. Well, you get housing discrimination in that white people are kicked out of housing to put you up. But like, I don't, you know, so you're obviously just like, so that made me just lose a lot of respect for these guys, because I was like, man, I thought at least there'd be, because there's no, even these black nationalists, they still rely on these tropes. And it's just like sad, but you know, the other thing is, it's like on some level they have to know, or they have to sort of secretly know, like, yeah, if we were actually just, if white people just completely left us alone, we would just kill each other and go back to the state of barbarism, or, you know, just a state of sort of hunter-gatherer existence.
They'd be happy like that. They'd be completely happy.
Well, these niggers wouldn't, because they want access to all the things better that the West gives them, right? These, like, educated lay niggers would not be happy at all. They don't want to be in a in the bush.
Yeah.
You think got to return to a tradition, though. It's time to go back. You got to go back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, the problem is, a large population of blacks is going to inevitably just return to tradition anyway. Like, they already are. Like, it's just their areas become
Africans.
What's that?
African trads.
No, all Africans are fundamentally traditionalist conservatives.
I support trad Africans.
Well, they're doing it to our cities. I mean,
the thing is, you can't really, fundamental patterns of life are always there no matter what. Like, white people, no matter what they claim to believe, because, you know, it's funny, you'll see like libtards and conservative whites who actually just have the same family structure and actually conduct themselves in their actual lives in the same way as each other, because they're kind of just enacting a racial norm for white people. Blacks, one, they don't really have things like beliefs, but they just revert to like the Star Trek episode, like the women own the land, like the woman procures a Section 8 apartment. The man has children with many different women, and he goes out to procure money through committing crime. And then he basically goes around from dwelling to dwelling, staying there and not sharing the money with his baby mama and children, who get the money from the government. But like, or he'll sometimes just take money from them. But this is a very traditional mode of existence for African men. They typically have children with more than one woman, and they don't stay in one place too long. It's a very, very trad lifestyle.
Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
About the death penalty, and it made me stop and think, like, what if you had a really, really extreme death penalty for just about anything, and you institute that in Africa? Like, how long would it take to prune away the more violent parts of the African genome? Like, how many generations would it take until you ended up with, like, a tame African?
I'm not sure, but I don't think that – now, this is what makes me wonder about that evolutionary theory that Europeans basically just killed their criminal class. Like, in –
They sent them to Australia.
Well, isn't that funny that theory in of itself is starting from the point where, like, how do we square the African circle here? How do we explain – how we're not like them. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's
like the premise is...
I don't know if it is, but yes, it seems like it might, that very well might be the origin of why people started theorizing that way at all. But
he was theorizing that this is why you got the rise of Christianity, because Christianity started as like this religion of peace, and they were, you know, preaching about how you should be nonviolent stuff, and it gelled very well with this nonviolent population. But I feel like Edward Dutton likes to...
He's a just-so storyteller.
He's just putting these ideas in his head and start looking for justifications for them, so I don't know.
Well, first of all, the problem is, though, that white people aren't peaceful.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
They fight.
And historically, we haven't been. White people are docile in the last 75 years under, like, the international Zionist empire regime that is driven by like media and giving people like drugs and like carbohydrates and whatnot, but it's not like people are docile under this current totalitarian system, relatively so, but historically and certainly at the time when Christianity was being established throughout Europe, white people weren't peaceful. They were killing each other. There's wars all the time.
There's wars about like
white people are lawful but not peaceful,
right? They'll go to war over like
if that makes sense.
They'll go to war over like what your concept of the Holy Trinity is. I mean, didn't they do several decades long wars about that sort of thing?
Yes, a huge waste of time in my opinion. But here we are.
Well, there's your fucking peaceful Christian religion right there.
Right, that's the other thing.
No, I mean, it's one being. Like no, it's three. That's
all right. We're like the most basic bitch. I hate to say. I hate to be but the most basic bitch of all atheists would be like Christianity's not peaceful. Look at all the wars back. It's pretty wrong.
Now you're being a Reddit tier to Fedora tipper, Mike.
Well, the problem is, were there religious wars in Europe that killed hundreds of thousands of people?
No, that's Reddit tier.
Okay,
Redditor. I see your Reddit spacing. I turned my brain off and said Reddit.
They used to fight wars over like these stupid little scriptural doctrinal like differences, and now they like fags openly preach in their churches.
Yeah, that's a bit of a
What happened?
Can
we get a religious war today over just that kind of shit? Maybe.
Yeah, convert to Islam.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was going to say you don't need one because like the normal side just like the creeping Puritans just rolled over. I mean, the creeping homosexuals, the creeping trannies.
There is an element to which see Christians you've like, talked sort about of the, flex on okay, petty shit on, because of their own powerlessness.
But you've talked about before how these churches have these schisms, and the congregation says, well, we're not going like that, and the church is like, all right, we'll get off our property then. Like, how about the congregation says, no, fuck you, make me. You know, that's only time Christianity.
The problem is the congregation's all like 80 years old.
Yeah.
They have a schism, and then the progressives end up with everything, and the based church just fractures and splinters and gets smaller and smaller.
Yeah, and the people that want to do that, like the Methodist church, I think is going through this now, or I don't know if it's been completed.
It's not just them.
Going.
Yeah, it's Methodist because I went over this like a month or two ago.
Well, the Episcopalians did it in the 90s.
Yeah,
all of these big churches are breaking apart like this. It's all fracturing pieces, and they fracture in the same stupid way too. Like, okay, we're gonna take our ball and go somewhere else. The church
fedora.
Is like, okay, well, you better find yourself another church
so
building.
Cringe,
right. And they comply with that. Now, the other thing is, if they try to do, they comply with it, and the reason is mainly because the people that are doing the walking away are like 80 years old.
Well, that's the other thing is from looking at the breakdown, it's most of the church, the majority is going along with the progressive stuff.
Yes. Well, that's because this is kind of our point, is that people will go along with the institutional structures around them. And so, frankly, it takes a dedicated minority of people to want to take over and, hijack or just take over those institutions and then change their direction and change their purpose. And if you think that, that's impossible, well, how the fuck did the faggots take over Christianity in the first place? They did it by being like literally a dedicated minority. Most people, yes, it is true that most people are in fact sheep and will in fact just go along with like large systems and institutions that surround them. Or if they don't like it, they'll just shut up and just complain to their wife or something like that, sitting at home just like in their doldrums. That's most people. It is true.
Yep.
But that's why our people listening to this program, you can't be like that.
Right.
Because if we are like that, it's just going
to
die.
Listening to the program is
it's like these churches. Step Look, one take, of not it, being take a like cautionary that. Tale from these fucking churches that are just keeling over for this shit. I don't want to be like them. So, yeah.
Mike Enoch doesn't want to be like Church Fedora.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's, put that one out there. Please let's circulate too. That. That'll be really that's good. Reddit, yeah. Too. Let's definitely put it out there with no context,
church,
no explanation.
I have something that Americans are actually passionate about doing on Sundays. I have some football content.
Are they, though?
That reminds me, because I
feel like they're less passionate than they were.
Bigger related.
They're more passionate about this than they are about church. I'll tell you that much.
Yes, that's true. They are more passionate about football than they are about, but even the passion for football seems to be waning.
Right. So there was a Thursday night game on. It's on Prime. And you know how those Green Bay Packers people, they wear the cheese on their head? The cheese hats? Yep.
All right. Unfortunately,
So they were playing the Detroit. And so all these teams in the immediate area of Wisconsin, like all their rival teams, they now have these cheese grater hats that they wear now. And I was really struck by the funny novelty in it. Well, no, I wouldn't bring this up other than like,
I'm not saying you. I'm just saying, like, imagine being somebody who's like, I'm going to wear a cheese grater on my head.
Well, it's America. What else are you going to do? What else are you going to identify with?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a great, hilarious joke that, like, I can't believe it took, like, 30 years before someone thought of, hey, let's put a cheese grater on our head when we play the Packers. So all those cheese heads, you know.
A cheese knife, like one of those little cocktail.
Oh, with the iron, the little wire and the fucking roller.
Little curved knife. Little cheese.
So I looked up these cheese grater hats. Let's show them on the thing here. I just want to show you, like, they're calling them the greater heads. And here's, like, if anyone is still looking for, like, the meme magic of 2016, like, this is the best they've got. Make America great again.
Feeling that was coming.
That's the sales pitch. Make America great, G-R-A-T-E again. And this is far more meaningful than anything that Orange Faggot was ever going to do. Make America Great Again and building a wall. Like, we're going to build a wall of cheese graters to stop the Packers. And it worked. I think the Detroit Lions blew them out last night because they have, like, a nigger quarterback now, and you just can't do that.
This counts as fed posting.
But you can only...
Right? This counts as fed posting. You're like, you're going to grate the fans of the other team. You're going to slice them into small pieces.
The problem is grate the press. The problem is that...
I was going to say the Great Depression, but that's fine.
The Great Replacement. How about that?
The Great... Oh, no. Oh, he's done it. Oh. That's one's going in the notes right there.
Or the Great Reset. I mean, we could just do this forever.
Oh, my
dude.
God. The Great Reset. Ah, wonderful. It's
kind of grating after a while.
Oof. Yeah, this this joke's starting to grate on my nerves.
Oh, geez. There you go. There's Mike Ditka wearing one.
Yeah.
Wow, this is taking off.
Yeah, you know, I've always thought he's one of the greats of football.
Man.
Oof. One of the all-time greats.
I'm actually surprised it took this long.
This pun is just like, I think people didn't want to unleash the pun because it just becomes too much. Because you just do it like, the greatest of all time, you know? Like, you keep just doing
it. Hey,
look
at that soy facing going on over there.
Yeah, that's a good soy face right there. Well, because he's wearing the cheese. He's in pain. He's getting grated. Just grating on a curve. No?
Oh, dude, yeah, very good.
Instead of Tom Brady, you could have Tom Grady. No?
I got some football content for you.
Oh, no, we have I see the word shooting in that headline. Three-year-old girl. Oh, my God. Three-year-old girl shoots herself unattended in Florida home. Oh, my God. So there's
just there's a clip.
Oh, no, McNabb, I can't. So this little
these aren't people. These are niggers.
This little broad, she's got there's a gun on the floor right here. Is she picking up a pistol?
I'm not watching a 3-year-old black girl shoot herself.
We saw those 10-year-old black girls shoot each other in the fucking bathroom that one time. Yeah, that is a pistol right there. In this fucking.
Look. No, I don't want to watch the video of it, dude.
Check out this new release footage. Why would TMZ publish this? That's weird. That's like some tabloid.
Because they don't, they just want.
So it shows.
Oh, there's he's watching more than one child. I thought it was just the girl he's supposed to watch.
It shows Serenity grabbing the pistol with her hand and peering over at a relative, Orlando Young, who is preoccupied watching a football game on his laptop. So he's not even watching a legit football game. He's stealing one. Suddenly, the gun discharges and Serenity hits her arm, crying out in pain. Oh, well, I guess. Young looks up stunned and rushes over to Serena to check out her injury and give her assistance. Other people dash in the room as total chaos ensues. Young directs another person to get a belt to wrap around the bullet wound to stop the bleeding, then escorts Serenity out of the living room, but soon returns to retrieve his gun from the couch before the video shuts off.
Right, because...
Of course.
Well, there was another case like this that Ock Nation was talking about where, like, it was like a Juneteenth party, and it was like in some DJ studio, and this one black dude was like a rapper, and he was hanging out in the studio like rapping with these other blacks, and of course there was a bunch of guns lying around, and this guy's like 13-year-old son, or like one kid, like a 5-year-old kid, and shot a 13-year-old kid and killed him with a gun that was lying around, and like before they called any help at all, they like made sure to like clear the room of anything, and of course this 13-year-old ended up dying, and of course these blacks were every single instance of this whole episode was caught on security footage.
You can play the clip; it's not that bad, but it is.
I thought she like blew her head off.
No, it is typical that's what nigger I assumed as well.
Behavior. It is so typical what happens in the first few seconds of this.
Oh my God!
The other thing is this.
Yeah,
I'm curious. You know how libtards love to, and Jews love to throw around that thing about a gun in the home.
You got to turn the audio up.
All right, we can just watch this. As long as there's no like toddler blowing their head off.
No,
like,
nobody says it's blown off, but you get some good nigger reacts here. Let me tell you.
Well, I mean, there's the weapon is right on the couch there.
Yeah, that's how they do. That's what happens.
Oh my God.
Yes, sir. Yes, son. What the
Dude, get some. What the fuck?
What is happening? Bro, what the fuck is happening? Yo, what the fuck is happening? Yo,
there's a pit bull.
Where's the pit bull?
Hey, weren't those? You're lucky that don't the pit
bull. Where is the smoke alarm?
The pit bulls like smell the blood and they're just gonna maul her. Like, how did that? They're lucky about that. Wonder where the bullet like ended up. Like, where to go? I'm assuming it went through her little tiny arm. Who's this person on the couch?
And they're just this person's not moving. They're
there's
like, yeah,
no
I'm
reaction.
Not, I'm not getting up for this.
Like, I'm watching the game. Shit. The person, yeah.
the person on the couch is like completely just utterly.
Yeah, that's like the elder of the household. They're like, yeah, wow. I'm unfazed.
Is that the
by
one
this.
That's doing the fent?
Yes, happens. Every day around here,
I told these damn dudes.
Well, look,
he just said it. I told you.
I told you what?
Like, told you not
told
to touch.
What,
to not touch not your gun. Why
not
do you
to
have
touch your, like the unattended, loaded firearm left lying around within easy reach of children? Like, what did you tell them? Like,
was there not a safety? I guess not.
There's.
There's a weapon that in a novel I'm writing that a character representing me has fired before, where the safety is sort of like integrated onto the trigger. Maybe they should do something about that with gun restrictions.
Well, here's the thing:
there's like a plastic inside
there's
the metal
nothing
trigger.
You can actually
no. There's nothing
there's
you can
no,
do.
There's no trinket or technological innovation that can solve the issue here. This is the problem. So,
He probably has one of those like one of those attachments they 3D print and put on the end so it becomes automatic. Has one of those in the house.
Who the hell knows?
Why are the chairs up in the over here on this table? What's going on
again,
over here?
You're asking too many questions.
Just like weird just, nigger shit. Like, I like the niggerisms. I'm distracted. I want to hear more of the yelling.
I'm actually surprised at how like actually tidy the living room is.
I'm not. Nigger houses are oftentimes very tidy. They're also very Spartan. There's not very much stuff in them except expensive TVs and shoes.
That noise!
Did that guy just wake up? What was that noise?
I like how there's just like a lot of different.
There's just a lot of different niggas. Like that's the nigga with the gun. That's just better get your laptop. What is the gun down the side of the? Is he gonna pull another gun out of this couch? Checking under the couch.
Make sure all the guns.
What is he looking for?
Hey, you're still listening to only half the content? I don't know if I could do that. And I would say to myself, man, this Svenpie guy is making good content. I love this. I can't take any more free riding. I don't know what I'm going to do. What am I going to do? I'm Svenpie's top guy. What am I going to do? Svensson chose me to get a subscription. Whoa, Sven needs me? Okay, I'll do it. I'm going to bat for you, Sven. I'm going to therightstuff.biz/paywall, Sven.
Oh, there's his gun. Yeah, he went and he got his gun,
He's looking for the case.
That's hey, what happened?
What happened? There's just niggers everywhere. They're all really skinny. Is this Ethiopia?
Yeah, that's actually unusual. Any case.
All these dogs.
The point I wanted to make.
Holy shit. All right, thanks for the fucking drumming.
You can still hear the game going in the background, too. It's great.
Here's the point I wanted to make. There's nothing you can do about it.
No, there's nothing you can do.
In that household. And like, yeah, we could point out all the different weird things.
There's nothing you could do.
But my point here is, though, that how often have we been told, and this is a talking point, people that are familiar with the rhetoric surrounding gun rights in America will be familiar with, which is a gun in the home is more often going to be used against like a child in the home or by a child in the home or someone in the home than it is going to be used actually in self-defense.
Yeah.
This is something that they
because you're supposed to lock it up somewhere.
The Jews and libtards trot out to argue against the idea that people need firearms for home defense. I want to know what the racial breakdown of that is. Because just because we were all privy to advertisements in the 90s where the two white kids get stoned and then the one white kid blows his own head off or shoots his friend or whatever, you know? When you say, I'm so high.
That's not how marijuana works. You get stoned, you're afraid of guns.
Well, it's not how anything works.
Touch a gun. Oh, no.
It's not how anything works. It's all completely bullshit. And so my question is, like, how heavily racially slanted is this? And is there any way to know? Because have they even kept track of that aspect of it?
2023, there were.
I would be willing to bet that a lot of these accidental home shootings where a kid in the house gets their hands on a gun and shoots themselves or someone else is blacks. It's black households. I'll bet anything just because they are overrepresented by a factor of like 10 in all of them.
Also like gun owning whites tend to be spurgs. Safety spurgs is like a big thing. If you're like a gun guy.
However,
I would be a little bit cautious because my brother, his kids were at a relative's house and the relative was kind of a white trash person, and somebody, a child, got a hold of a gun and killed the aunt that was there. Like, killed her dead with my
Christ.
Niece, like, in the next room. Of course, after that, my brother was like, you guys are never going to hang out with them ever again.
Yeah, well, again, but, again,
that was the end of that situation forever.
Well, right, but my question is, even that being the case, like obviously there will be some white people this happens to, but like let's look at like the totally statistically significant samples. Like I would bet, there's going to be maybe some white trash this happens to, but the way they always portray it is like the rich suburban dad with a big gun collection,
right.
Like
yeah,
the kid.
No, I don't that's think bullshit. That's true.
Hey, remember that?
But additionally,
remember the kid?
If you look at the actual statistics here, it looks like. It looks like you don't get that many deaths proportionally per year, somewhere around 300 for 2023 so far. Still
now,
a lot.
There's another wrinkle to this whole idea, which is that oftentimes guns are used in suicides, and that is disproportionately white. And so that's different. So a white person with a gun, you know, probably is more likely to shoot themselves purposefully to kill themselves. So then that would also factor into, I guess, these sort of a gun in the home.
100,000. It's gone up, though, in recent years. And I think it going up is almost certainly Negro related.
Definitely blacks. It's definitely blacks.
I think that's the uptick.
Definitely blacks.
It has to be.
Well, because the blacks are out of control now, so more that's going to lead to more and more blacks having like lots of guns lying around because they're all going to feel like they need to be defending themselves at any point because they do.
I hate the way they break this data down.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I bet you if going back to like when I first started hearing this talking point, like in the 90s, like they just don't have the data.
Because, like, for example, CDC data 2022 indicate that firearms continue to be the number one factor in child deaths for the third year in a row, but that's got to be including just niggers literally murdering each other. That's not accidental. That's actually including murder.
Yeah, and the the fact that the Jew media is giving to libtards, and libtards are eagerly taking the excuse that this is about guns. I mean, I honestly think it's entirely possible that the anti-gun stuff is as much a way to distract people from the actual black problem than it is like actually designed.
Well, obviously, what's going on here? Because as might be expected, teenagers have a higher firearm mortality rate. The children in the U.S. teens ages 18 to 19 have a firearm mortality rate of 25.2 per 100,000. That's
all blacks.
That's niggers. That's going to have knock-on effects all the way down. Because as we've seen, niggers start shooting each other at age 5. So this uptick in deaths.
And they start shooting each other intentionally at age like 12.
They shoot each other intentionally at age 5.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess you're right about that too.
Well, and technically, it's not really an op at that point yet, right? They kind of just don't really know what's going on.
Well, no, they're just
imitating behavior they see.
They're just imitating the adult behavior. I don't think
the 5-year-olds haven't like disrespected each other. It's just sort of.
Well, right. They might have, though.
Possible. You never know.
They very well might be like, yeah, you disrespected me, and now I'm going to shoot you, because that's what I see happening. Well,
speaking of 5-year-olds, they're not quite 5. These people, they're not old enough to be shooting each other yet, but Antelope Hill is running a sale on their website.
Oh, yeah.
Antelope Hill Publishing. They're three years old. So not old enough to really have like accidental.
Not old enough to have to be doing these home shootings. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So make sure you get over there and grab a book or two before they do get to the age where tragedy might befall them with self-inflicted gunshot wounds.
buy up their stock before they start accidentally leaving guns on the before their parents start leaving guns on the house and they start shooting each other with them. Yes, definitely.
I have something funny from
before
them.
Before they
reach
the age of accidental homicide in America.
I don't know why they would send this to me. We all know how much pride I take in my beautiful hair, but like I have this. They sent me this Touch Grass hat.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, the bill is like really flat. Those like that's how the Zoomers wear it, right? The Zoomers wear hats. I don't know what Zoomers do.
I feel like wearing ball caps is like a. It's kind of like a millennial thing. It's like a Gen X millennial thing.
Yeah.
Like I don't really see.
I still see people.
Zoomers
with like
can't wear hats because it covers the broccoli top, right?
That's what I was thinking. I can't make.
I was even trying
bigger.
To give Zoomers some credit and be like, I think the broccoli top is being like phased out, and people have been like, Zoomers that I know are like, no,
I see that everywhere.
It's just
mulatto hair. Look at the Touch Grass hat right there. It's good stuff. You can get that. They also sent me a Bang hat that like lights up, but it's like a woman's hat, so it does not even go anywhere near fitting on my skull because I have a huge head. But it, like, has an LED and a battery in it and stuff.
You know, white people white men have like big fucking heads.
Giant head.
We have like huge craniums. It's true. Yeah, that.
See, this is how like I have to disengage it in order.
Thing? That I don't know if that's necessarily. I mean, I've seen men wear hats patterned like that. I wouldn't do it, but you know,
I prefer men without hats. No, that's Men at Work with the Land Down Under. What is Men Without Hats?
I don't know. I don't know of a single song by Men Without Hats.
I just know
funny.
They exist.
I don't think they do anymore.
You're gonna be
surprised.
Oh,
they did the safety dance. I knew that was a song. Boop, that's the safety dance.
Yes. Man, I should update that song about like Sam Bankman-Fried or something. We did that as a crypto song. Was it We Binance?
Yeah.
We Binance if we
want
to.
We did one just about loans and shit first. That was funny.
Oh, I came up today with an idea for a Christmas song. So there might be a new Christmas song this year if I get my off my ass and do it. That should be exciting. A really good thing to do would be to get the Christmas song done during the Halloween season so I'm not like rushing like with no time under duress to get something stupid done like in a week like I used to do to myself. Now I just don't do anything. Now I just sit around and I suck down acetaminophen and fucking coffee and stress myself out.
Yeah.
Anoui. So Antelope Hill Publishing. .com. Yes. Go there and check that out. It's their third birthday and they're having a sale. What do they got? Let's go click over here. I'm going to go look at it.
They have a discount like across the board. Are they doing that?
Happy birthday AHP for 15% off your order today and 10% off your order tomorrow. So they're adding, that's a call to action.
Oh yeah, dude,
in a sense of urgency. Today is 15%, tomorrow is 10%.
In like a year, like it's over, the sale's over.
Unless they're doing something else next year.
Well, yeah, but who knows? Today, September 29th is the day.
September 29th, 2023. Yeah. And there's Touchgrass right there. You can get Touchgrass the book. That's a compilation, right? Was that the competition this year? Yeah, the writing competition.
Yes, there's a number of different pieces in there.
You can get an ebook or a paperback, apparently, which is pretty cool. I love ebooks. EPUB file 645. Where's the Mobis, AHP? Well, I got to convert these things myself. Jesus Christ.
They don't even use Mobi anymore.
No, they
Amazon ebooks is some other form. Well, it's Mobi, but it's like AZW or something like that.
AXEW or something. But you can still read. Same basic thing. You can still read a Mobi.
It's the same thing as Mobi. They just changed.
But Kindle still won't read an EPUB. That's the problem. EPUB goes in like a nook. You still have a nook. Nobody has a nook.
Or any other open source reader, this is why people hate Amazon. Mm-hmm. I'm actually serious. This is why people fucking hate Amazon. There is an industry standard that was set by the standards making bodies,
and they're like, "Fuck you,
EPUB," and they're like, "No, we're gonna not only not conform to that, we're not gonna have our marketplace conform to that, and we're not gonna have our reader conform to that." And of course, because they're Amazon, this is actually one of the reasons. Mm-hmm. Why the FTC is suing them, although I don't know if that specifically is one of the reasons, although it should be.
It should be.
But, and it's just like, then you have to download Calibre and then convert them from, Mobi to ADZW or whatever the fuck. They won't even import an EPUB. That's fucking obnoxious.
No, you have to convert some other software. I convert it
just use anything but a Kindle.
Calibre.
That's what I said, yeah. Calibre, Calibre. I always say Calibre. I get why people say Calibre because it's a play on.
Because Libre is Spanish for book, right? España.
Yeah, something like that. One of those languages.
So what are we gonna do now? I guess.
I want to talk about Dianne Feinstein.
Dianne Feinstein is dead.
Here's my thing with this. Okay, so a lot of people are doing the bit like crab dance thing, and I'm like, okay, that's fine, but. I always feel a little bit like I feel like the crab dancing is a little bit hollow
I know where you're going. Like, don't crab dance about a 90-year-old that's done all this dance. She's like the longest serving whammy.
I've actually got a novelty. You don't.
But
know
in this one, it's not like that. Going. This one is not like that because the reason she's still in the Senate at 90 years old is because they don't have a fucking backbench because young Democrats.
So you read
are
the
anti-Semitic.
Same chat I was in this morning.
I
no.
did not steal that take from anyone.
No, he stole it from another chat.
So we were all planning on being the first one to steal that.
Oh,
take.
This hot take! This wasn't the hot take Olympics. It was just a straight up race. Who can steal this take the fastest and put it out there?
Do either of you think this is a particularly like insightful thing to observe?
Yes.
Okay. Fine.
Well, let's put it this way, Alex.
What do you mean by it doesn't matter if it's particularly insightful or not? It's actually pretty obvious. Like,
will the ban the ADL crowd notice this?
A lot of people notice this.
Okay.
A lot of people have noticed this, and the reason is because it is true. We are having a creeping – you don't talk about creeping puritanism. We got a creeping gerontocracy in America. Although it's like creeping in that the old people themselves are creeping, but also like the age of these top-level officials is getting older and older. And it is true. This is a take I completely agree with, that they simply don't trust the people that were going to come in and replace them. Who is going to replace Dianne Feinstein in California? I don't even know.
I got
to
say this, though. They got their money's worth out of Dianne Feinstein. I mean, she must have had regularly scheduled oil changes. She must have had, like, the service extended warranty plan. They got their money's worth. They got their shekels worth out of her.
This is another funny thing. Well, one,
five miles on that broad.
They didn't really even need to pay her. I mean, she was wealthy from her husband being like an arms dealer, but she's a Jew involved in like a Jewish racial struggle for world domination. And so,
I mean, you get one Jew into that position and she holds it until she's 90 years old. I mean, damn.
They do that with everything. You know, I was reading, there's impressive. A New York Times article I saw the other day about, there's a district court judge whose name is, it's a woman. Her name is something Freeman. She's Jewish. I'd have to go back and look exactly what it is. She's 96. She was nominated to the bench in 1984 by Ronald Reagan. And they finally actually had to have another court issue an order that she stepped down because she herself refused to do it. Hmm. And this was because...
I can't step down. I can't even walk.
Right. So she didn't want to resign.
I'm nominated and I can't get up.
It's because these
I'm appointed
Jews
and I
don't...
can't get up. I'm appointed and I can't get up. Sorry.
These Jews just can't. They can't give up their positions. They don't actually trust that anybody up and coming can replace them, and that actually includes like other Jews because, you know, like Jews are definitely undergoing what we're calling regression to the heap, where like the younger Jews just don't have the same stuff that the older ones have. They don't have the same moxie. Yeah, you know, they've got the chutzpah, but they don't actually have the. They don't actually have the brains, the strategic minds. Like they're stupid. They're dumb.
Right.
They're stupider. Like just look at Jews in entertainment. They're way dumber.
Oh,
than
they're
they
horrible.
Were.
Alex Kurtzman.
Yeah.
What a fucking dumb motherfucker that guy is.
Like they used to actually have to be creative and interesting, and they're not anymore. And in politics, they used to actually have to be smart, and you know now they don't. They're like we just run everything. We just be fucking retards.
Think about the difference between. Still listening to this version of The Daily Showa? Still haven't subscribed? Please, go over to therightstuff.biz/paywall, grab a subscription, and you won't be interrupted with these sales pitches ever again. I've been doing this lately, too. Basically, I've just been regressing to the 90s. I watched a few episodes of Seinfeld recently. Like, how much more clever and smart those Jews are than anything you've heard recently. Yeah. Just in comedy and anything. I mean, they were just that show is rat-a-tat-tat, joke after joke after joke, and a lot of it is kind of harmless. There's some degenerate, like, you know, loose women sex stuff that sucks, but it's really just like rat-a-tat-tat. The attitude is there, and it's all clever and original. But like, what can you even fucking compare that to? You go watch a Jew comedian now. That's like, what are they going to talk about? Your genders?
Well, because they.
They're just vulgar now.
It's yeah,
just
it's either just vulgarity or just like insufferable like political shit.
Mm-hmm. That's the only two options that they have. And so
Jerry
and the vulgarity.
Jerry worked clean and never did politics. Funny. Jerry talked about airline food, mm-hmm. keeping your reservation at the car rental place, and all that stupid shit.
Nobody can.
Actually, you think about the structure of that show is always kind of a bit odd that it starts with like his stand up, or is it ends with the stand up, right?
Well, the stand up is interspersed throughout.
Every time I start an episode, my kid's like, "Why are you listening to memes?" I guess like Zoomers just don't know what the song is. They just think it's a meme.
Well, the whole thing would also be like a setup for a joke. Like the final act would always be like the punchline of like a long setup of a joke. But anyway, also remember when they even did like the AIDS totalitarianism where like Kramer doesn't want to wear the pink ribbon and they like fucking lynch him.
Yeah.
It's like they would, you can't do that. Like you literally, that was literally prescient. Like they were actually predicting the near future with that. That was actually
where
totalitarianism was going to come from.
I like when they thought George was the KKK leader. That was classic shit.
Oh, God. Yeah, that was so fucking funny. Oh, man.
That became like me after four beers like meme.
O'Brien.
Yeah, O'Brien.
I'm not O'Brien.
Like Donald O'Brien or something. Yeah.
But
sorry about that. Derail.
I guess that's the reason to for crab dancing that Feinstein is dead. It's just
a death about nothing.
Yeah.
A career about nothing.
It's just the general destabilization of the system, because it's even funny with Joe Biden. Like, okay, what happens? Because people have been asking, this has been a talking point that's been bandied about, like, is he going to run or not? I always just say, yes, he is. I don't think he's not gonna say I'm not running, and then they're gonna have to spin up a Democrat primary or whatever. But like, I am not confident he'll make it all the way through his second term without having either dying or literally having to step down. Although in America,
what if he dies in the campaign trail? What if he dies like next year? Holy shit. Or is incapacitated. And I don't know. I guess there's enough.
Yeah, I actually don't know what kind of procedures are in place to cover these eventualities, but they'll figure out something.
Well, you elect the dead guy. You're allowed to elect the dead guy. And then
yes, Kamala, I think they've done this before, where like you can elect a dead guy and then they can just put whoever they want in that place and he doesn't have to be elected, which I think is
with the president, there's a chain of succession. Election. It would just be like you're basically voting for Kamala. And if she steps down, the speaker.
Well, if
of the House,
Joe Biden
right?
dies in the campaign trail, like you can guarantee that Kamala being elevated to the presidential candidate will not win.
No.
So yeah, like again, I don't know. I can't actually predict what would happen. Weird. I don't know. All I'm saying is, I don't think that he's going to decline to run. I don't think he's going to do that. I think he's going to run, and I think it's because he actually, whatever other kinds of grappling is going on in D.C., he's got a big faction of very powerful Jews behind him that don't want to give up their extremely powerful offices throughout his cabinet, who are the ones that are really running the country. Okay, like, let's be honest. Like, everyone understands that. It's not even a question. So, but, you know, it is an interesting thing to see look at Mitch McConnell, right? Like, look at these people that are about to just fucking keel over at all times.
You're right.
And you wonder, like, why is this? And it's like, well, this is a consequence of the way they've been running the country. It's not even just like they can't have every brown person become like Richie Torres, right? Like, you know, they're just paying this Puerto Rican guy to be like a brutal Zionist, right? Like, and it's like that's eventually people aren't gonna want to vote for him. You know who definitely won't want to vote for him is like white libtards won't want to vote for him, because white libtards don't like Israel and they can't get them to budge on this, and it's very funny to me. So you know, here you have Dianne Feinstein. This is one of their problems. Someone like Dianne Feinstein can corral the white libtard vote, but is also like a super Zionist, right? But I don't know if they can get enough, you know, Latinx women.
Well, you say that white libtards don't like Israel. Like, do they balk? Were they upset at like the Iron Dome recharges the past few years, stuff like that? Like when Biden did the Iron Domes.
I think that they.
It's one thing to be like, I don't like Israel. But when these policies are actually put up by your government, it's like it doesn't matter which party you voted in. Like, either party in power is going to do that. Like, I guess I'd have to look off into a future where this paradigm is kind of like faded out a little bit.
Here's what the issue is. So I came from a white libtard family. My parents didn't like Israel. They were against it. But they never wanted to make it as big of an issue as I made it. I fucking hated Israel.
Like, would they have been like
my whole life?
Would they have been like protesting that Joe Biden was recharging Iron Dome with our tax dollars? Right.
No,
that's what I mean. It's like it's one thing like you can bloviate about it,
but this goes to the second point.
Okay.
My parents were just like, they were also kind of Finkelthinked. Like anything, the Republicans are so bad, we can never let them get in. Right. But then the other thing is though. They were boomers, and boomers are the generation that loves Israel. I mean, it's like 78%, and they're the only generation where, as they poll year over year, they the support of Israel is like increasing. In every other age bracket, it's decreasing. And in the youngest age brackets, the Palestinians easily win over Israel in terms of their support of which side in that conflict. So, but the point
I'm not surprised by that because boomers are literally just evil.
Yeah, well, they're fucking dumb. They're dumb, and they're controlled by the fucking TV. But here's the point. It's not just sort of casual, like, and I'm not saying my parents weren't even casual libtards. They were very, very dedicated to being libtards. But they weren't, like, political activists, and they weren't in the political system. They just worked jobs and, you know, made money and had a suburban lifestyle. They were just very involved in, like, reading the New York Times and voting Democrat and stuff. So they weren't, like, going to D.C., to be setting policy. And even though they're the kind of parents who would produce kids who might actually go to a college and major in government studies, because that's the kind of thing they wanted me to do. Like, that's one of the things they wanted me to do, was actually because of how I was always interested in politics and stuff. They wanted me to go be a lawyer, go do political science. Like, you're really good at that stuff. But had that happened, I would have been dedicated anti-Israel all the way up through every institution. You know what I mean? And so even if I were to have gone into being like somebody going into policy making circles or working for think tanks or anything like that, if I'd gone that direction, which I easily could have, I still would have hated Israel. And so when I talked to our buddy who is exposed in his college programs to people like this, they are actually anti-Israel, and they're ideologically so. So the problem isn't so much what does the average libtard voter think. The problem is what is thought by the ideological activist people who are going into university and are going to be graduating and going to be actually in policy-making circles and in think tanks and NGOs. What do they think? And all the ones that aren't Jewish don't like Israel. And so, and they don't like Israel because they have, and it's a dual problem, because on the left, they don't like Israel because they can't square the circle of everything they've been taught about anti-racism and what Israel actually does. You can't actually square that circle. And on the right,
this is sort of, you know what it is? This is like why they need Russia to be the big bad guy. Cause like, if you've got the new class of politicians aren't going to be anti-Semitic, it's going to be hard to sell like in a war against Iran because they're threatening Israel or whatever. And it's like, no, it's like, cause they're siding with Russia. We need to war with Iran because they're with Russia. And so Russia has
this is another reason why they're mad that Israel won't publicly come out. I mean, this is another reason why Jews want Israel. Like one subset of Jews wants Israel to sort of publicly come out and take an anti-Russia stance. The problem is,
McNabb just sent me some like poll fucking like website. This is the representation of boomers versus millennials on the on Israel. It's like ridiculous.
This is from Canary Mission.
That's from Canary Mission.
That's a boomer Canary and a millennial arguing about Israel.
I love Israel. How is it a millennial, like a 50-year-old man? Like, I guess shit. I guess that's coming up. Isn't it?
I mean, they're like 40 now, aren't they?
Yeah, millennials.
I'm sort of a millennial. I'm 44. I'm like
a bit of a millennial.
I know where the split starts.
Yeah, where's the split?
Anyway,
go ahead.
It's like literally like a year before I was born. It's like 1982. This is just one of the conclusions of a recent study by the Jewish Institute for Liberal Values, the JILV. let's see here. Basically, boomers favor Israel like at a ratio of 4-1 compared to other generations.
And the reason, one of the reasons why is it's sort of funny because the reason why like younger leftists don't and never will favor Israel is because they simply cannot look past its obviously racist behavior. The reason why boomers like it is because it's just their vicarious outlet for their own racism. They know I love niggers and Latinx.
This whole thing is really funny. So anyway, one of the things they asked them is similarly how Israel is perceived has also changed dramatically in two generations. The poll asked both groups to choose between two dramatically different perceptions of Israel, either as an occupier And a colonizer using modern military power to attack defenseless Palestinian civilians, still more indigenous Palestinian land, or alternatively, as a sovereign nation which has the right and obligation to defend itself from terrorist intent on killing civilians. Boomers chose the Israel as a sovereign nation option by a 6-to-1 ratio. 66% versus 11%. Among millennials, the gap narrowed considerably.
Hmm. What did millennials?
41-33%. So millennials still lean somewhat towards Israel, but those are probably right-wing millennials, which is going to be their other issue. But what's really funny is below that, you've got the subheading generational differences in woke ideology. The shift in attitudes about Israel due to generational differences is primarily due to the rise of woke ideology.
Well, younger Americans. This is a that's a bit of a cope on their part, to be honest.
They're coping and they're running themselves right up against the other like side of the kosher sandwich here.
Well, this is also part of a dilemma they have, because as we know, like one of the things Jews try to do is direct anti-woke ideology behind Zionism, and they're not actually that successful. They're successful, again, with boomers,
but
not with others. And the second thing is that they also want woke ideology to become pro-Israel. This is another problem.
That's going to be a big problem for them.
They're not going to be able to do it.
I'm seeing woke ideology and anti-Semitism. Similarly, the study identified another alarming trend among those who identify as progressive and very liberal, the belief in anti-Semitic tropes. According to the study, 80% of those who identify as progressive and very liberal believe that Jews in America have unfair advantages that need to be addressed.
So, here's the funny thing.
25% of progressive and very liberal groups say that Jews benefit from privilege. Close to 20% of progressive and very liberal groups say that American Jews have too much power. Those are rookie numbers. We can get those up, but still.
We can get those up. Like 100% of white nationalists say this, so good going.
I'm going to guess that the only really pro-Israel people left are going to be right-wing retards, right?
In addition,
yes, right-wing retards are the only pro-Israel people left. Correct, 100%. Absolutely.
In addition, 45% of progressives view Israel not as a sovereign nation with the right to defend itself from terrorism, but rather as an occupier and colonizer using modern military power to attack defenseless Palestinian civilians to steal more indigenous land from them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
So,
pardon me. I think I'm muted.
Here's another problem, though, is that studies like this themselves actually like exacerbate the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you read the article and you're like, no, wait a minute.
Well, it's not only that. It's sort of like, it's like the more that they get boomers and dumb right wingers on the like woke anti-Semitism angle, like the more like that doesn't budge these people an inch. Like that's the thing. Like that does not budge them an inch. Like the woke, the funny thing is even, and this can now go into a discussion of Roger Waters, because that's also something I do want to talk about. Although that might be something we need to hold off till next hour to do, because the way they're treating this guy is it's making everybody look stupid. It's making everybody look bad, and leftists aren't actually a lot of leftists are dumb. Okay, I'm not going to say that they're not dumb, but like people don't actually think they don't actually see it the way that it's being portrayed, and that is a narrative.
Sven needs me to sign up for a paywall subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall. Okay, Sven, I'm your number one guy. I'll do it.
That is actually a right wing or a Jewish right wing anti-woke narrative, which is now being percolated throughout all the press. Even libtard press is repeating this stuff about Roger Waters. And people don't, it just discredits anybody that tries to make the argument. It makes them look fucking retarded. But this is one of the ways they're trying to actually do this. Additionally, it also probably makes you want to be anti-Semitic, because all the people that Roger Waters worked with in the past that were Jewish are now like turning on him. they're like ratting him out, and shit that's obviously lies. Anyway, it's like the more they get Republicans, right-wingers, boomers out there talking about woke anti-Semitism, the woke left hates Jews. Like, that actually, I mean, they might get more support for Israel from, like, dumb right-wingers, which is going to have the problem of making support of Israel be stupid and cringe, because a lot of it is, like, frankly, the kinds of people that support Israel are fucking cringe retards. And right. People don't want to be associated with it.
Well, they all are.
And so if all you can do, if the only people you can get to be vocally supportive of your stupid little fucking country are cringe retards, like, other people are just going to shy away from it. And even younger right-wingers, while not nearly as extremely anti-Israel as younger left-wingers, support is drying up amongst younger people on the right. The problem is nobody, I would say this, younger people on the right, probably no one really gives one fuck one way or the other, but they're sort of like trying to do a strategy. Like, they're like, well, we'll all, like, strategically side with the Jews because they have all the power. But even somebody that does that is still kind of doing an anti-Semitism, because they're essentially doing it like, here, I'm going to be pro-Israel strategically because they've got lots of money and power. And that way I can kind of maybe I can get them to give me what I want, you know? And it's like, you know, nobody except the boomer actually is like, I love Israel.
Yeah.
You know?
I like the final little quote here. While the majority of Americans support freedom of speech, oppose hyperpartisanship, and support traditional liberal values, the far left continues to view politics as a zero-sum game, dividing the world into oppressors and oppressed, and willing to expel those they disagree with from their social circle. And the results aren't good for Jews.
Well, again, that,
you know, that was the first question on my mind. It was this going to, like, how, what does this mean for the Jews? That's what I was, you know.
That argument, though, it only recruits more of the same dumb idiots. Like, that's the problem. You're not actually going to get any of the people you need. You're just going to get another 70-year-old who's going to keel over next year. Like, you're not, like,
yeah.
You're not going to, you're just going to get another hallucinating New York Post commentator. You're not going to get, like, you're not going to get a young, like, politically engaged liberal person with that shit. They're going to just think it's repugnant, and it's just going to entrench them further. The more you use this kind of talk, these kind of memes, and get, like, dumb older right wingers to support Israel, or get them to at least be more vocal about it. And even them, like, people gravitate to, like, the Jews support this, or the Jews, this is good for the Jews. People sort of, like, in America, like, automatically gravitate towards that kind of thing, because there's this sort of understanding, even if people can't fully conceptualize that, yeah, Jews actually do run this country. So I want to always make sure that I'm on the side of the Jews, and the thing I'm doing is on the side of the Jews. Like, people do that even if unconsciously. But you can't bring over more, like, seriously, Jews, like, this kind of rhetoric that you're doing. All you're doing is making cringe retards more cringy and retarded. And that's not going to win you over young, politically motivated liberals and leftists, which is the people you need.
Yeah.
Well,
sorry.
You've
fucking done it to yourselves.
Maybe they're just leveraging, like, the bad pushes out the good. Because, like, say you're trying to have, like, a smart political thing going on, and instead you just keep getting these cringe retards that just love Israel and love Jews. Maybe you just, you know, the smart people just don't bother, and you just, I mean, that's how what the Democrat Party and the Republican Party looks to me. It's just like cringe retards fighting and debating over nothing.
And so
it could be the plan.
And that's also what's going on, is that, like, people don't even feel like weighing in on one side or the other of that kind of talk.
Look what they've done to
Look
what they've done to the non-woke, basically anti-Semitic left. Like, these people, like Michael Tracy, is just irrelevant. They've just. People like him have just been pushed out.
Them, yeah.
Like, they just don't get any attention. They don't really kvetch about them that often. They're just out there on Substack, and maybe somebody will fight with them on X.com a little bit, and no one fucking notices.
Right.
So,
well, this is actually the thing is that I actually think what Jews are really wanting to do in response to all this is sort of, like, depoliticize people, like, get them.
Yeah,
like,
if you're really smart, like that's Michael Tracy. If you're smart enough to see through this stuff or think there's something up with it, just get you depoliticized, and so you just check out. You go into your group chat, your secret group chat. Well, I guess we'll talk about this in an hour or two, right? Where you're just not sharing anything with the outside world, and you're just having your sewing circle about how bad politics are, and you're out.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be.
But even that isn't going to please Jews, because in that, in those little formats,
no, it's not going to
do a racism.
Yeah. Yes.
You might be able to do a racism.
Right.
So, yeah.
So let's take a break.
Yeah, there's, and I definitely want to go into the Roger Waters shit, because there's a lot going on.
Okay. Let's do that. Let's take a break right here. Wow. It's not even noon yet. Awesome. I got stuff to do later. So we started early and it worked. I don't have a good transition. Oh, that's right. Merchant Minute. Rock, you already gave it
to me. Oh, right. Okay.
So we'll be right back with that.
You are listening to the Daily Sewer.